Good morning. It's always a privilege to speak about the Lord with you. And this morning I'm going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit. And just as Laura was sharing there, I just thought one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is to help us reset and to empower us to see who Jesus is and the Father. And such an amazing privilege that we have to actually have a God who helps us and empowers us to know how loved we are and to help us love God with the love He gives us. And that's our foundation. And everything flows from that place. And it's really healthy to regularly reset. And I know I have to do it almost on a daily basis, just reset the presence of God, empowering us to see who Jesus is and what God has done for us. And we're in union with God. And that's a spirit-empowered reality that we can live in. And it's such a privilege. And this year we've looked at the Holy Spirit. We've looked at who the Holy Spirit is. And we've seen that the Holy Spirit is God. And He's a person, the third person of the Trinity. We worship God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We looked at why He's come. Why has the Holy Spirit come? He's come to help us in our relationship with God. And helping us to reset, because that's kind of on my mind at the moment. Just the power of God just resetting us to the reality that we're loved and to love God. And He helps us in our relationship with God. And He also helps us in our relationships with each other. And He helps us in our sphere of influence as well, throughout the whole of life, that we might reveal Jesus to people. We also looked at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whereby all born-again believing Christians have the Holy Spirit. And from that place, God calls us to be filled again and again and again with His Holy Spirit, that we might know we're loved, that we might love God, and that we might be empowered for the whole of Christian life to walk in what God has for us. And we also looked at our ongoing dependency as well. This isn't just like a one moment thing. We depend on the Lord every day, every moment. And the Holy Spirit wants to be part of our lives as we live in ongoing dependency with Him. And today we're going to look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to be encouraged today that as a follower of Jesus in Christ, the Holy Spirit wants to be active through you and in you, that you might build others up in the life that the Holy Spirit gives. And the way the Holy Spirit does that is through His gifts. So through the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit wants to partner with you. And the Holy Spirit wants to be active in you and through you to help you and to help you help others. If you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. I've also got a few slides up here with the scriptures on that we can follow on as best we can. So the top scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Paul writes to the church, he says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." So Paul has written to a church where the Spirit is moving and they're experiencing growth, they're experiencing the presence of God, and the gifts of the Spirit are manifesting, things are happening in this church, but Paul seems to think that they need more understanding. And they're not operating necessarily in any sense of order. And Paul wants to give them some instruction. He doesn't tell them to stop using the gifts. He doesn't tell them to ignore the gifts, but he wants them to learn about the gifts of the Spirit and to inform them about the gifts of the Spirit, for them to be informed. And we can apply this to ourselves and recognise that not all of us are clear on how these gifts work. Some of us are uninformed. I have to confess, I've spent much of my life uninformed about quite a lot of things. particularly the gifts of the Spirit, but that changes as you pursue the Lord, as you pursue the Scriptures, as you pursue church fellowship. And so I pray that we'll all learn more about them today, because we're always learning. And so to help us learn, we're going to look at five questions. We're going to look at what, who, when, why, how. Okay, so what are the gifts of the Spirit is the first question. Number two, who uses them? Number three, when are they used? Number four, why do we need them? And number five, how are they used? So what, who, when, why, how? See what I did there? What, who, yeah. So question one, what are the gifts of the Spirit? What are these things? So we can go to two places in Scripture. The first one there, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. Paul says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." And the second passage, if we can put that up as well, is Romans 12, verse 3. And Paul begins by emphasizing the character as well at the beginning here. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." So from these scriptures we can make a list of the gifts of the Spirit, and most scholars believe the list isn't exhaustive, and there are other things, but we need to be careful we don't just make things up to be gifts of the Spirit. But that's something we can do, is to look and see that these gifts of the Spirit include wisdom, words of knowledge that we've mentioned here, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. And we don't have time to go into all of them specifically today, but over the next few times I speak, I really want to go through each gift to see what each gift is, and to see how the Spirit wants to move among us and through us as His people. So that's question one. What are the gifts of the Spirit? Question two, who uses them? Who's qualified to use them? Is it just the people at the front? Is it the super Christians? Whoever they are. The answer is, each one of us, as disciples in Christ, are qualified to receive and exercise gifts of the Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 12, 7 says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Verse 11, "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one, just as He determines." And then the next one, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And then 14:26. "What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. And everything must be done so that the church may be built up. So each one of you, so each one of us can receive and exercise the gifts of the Spirit. That's new converts. That's people recently baptized. That's people who have been following Jesus for many years. Each of us. Question three, when are they used? Well, the primary place they are used is when we as believers gather as the body of Christ. And they're also used in the whole of life, and I'll come to that in a moment in the context of evangelism. But the main place is when believers gather, because the assumption from Paul is he's instructing these churches, and he's instructing them as they gather. So he's assuming they're gathering to worship the Lord, they're seeking the Lord, they're fellowshipping together, they're enjoying each other, they're enjoying the Lord together, and he's assuming that it's a gathering of the saints. And we all have the Holy Spirit within us as born again believers, and the Holy Spirit also seems to hover around his people, ready to work through those who are willing to step out and operate and exercise in these gifts. Question four, why do we need them? Well, for two reasons. You know, why bother with this? Why even think about it? Can't we just get on with things and not really think about it too much? There are two reasons. Number one, to build us up, to strengthen us, to encourage us. As we saw 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So Holy Spirit works through us for the benefit and the encouragement and common good of us all. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, their encouraging, and their comfort. So these gifts are given to us as a church to strengthen us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to build us up, all for the common good among us. Now, who here needs strengthening? Hands up if you need strengthening. Keep your hands up if you need encouraging. You need encouragement. Hands up if you need comforting. Hands up if you need building up. Hands up if you need these gifts to be operating among us. I know I do. To have people operating these gifts is a great encouragement for us, because not only are we strengthened, we get to strengthen others through these gifts. So that's the first reason why we need them, to strengthen and encourage and build each other up. The second one is to have people come into a saving relationship with Jesus. That people would know that there is a God. And people would know that there is a God, and God wants them to come into his kingdom family. So in 1 Corinthians 14:24, really interesting passage, Paul says that if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying is a gift of the Spirit, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Now, I don't think Paul is saying that's going to happen every single time. But the potential is there. If the people of God are pursuing the gifts of the Spirit, in this context prophesying, non-believers, unbelievers, seekers, inquirers, people are saying, who is this? Is God real? Through the prophetic gift in this context, people will come to faith in Christ. And it's really powerful. And people can meet God in a powerful way through the gifts of the Spirit. And God uses them for his glory And he uses them for people to come into relationship with him. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us. And as you and I grow in strength and maturity and boldness and courage, we get filled with the Spirit. We begin to recognize what God is doing through us, and we bless others with his gifts. So question 5, how are they used? What do we need to do? What do we need to do to have them operate among us? And the reality is the Holy Spirit doesn't come and make us or force us. The Holy Spirit doesn't force himself upon us. In the last slide, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Follow the way of love. Following the way of love is obeying the first commandment, to love God, which means to be loved by God as well, and to walk in his love, and then love others. So that's the way of love. And then eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. We are to earnestly and eagerly desire these gifts. We're not waiting for the Spirit to come and force us and pick us up and throw us somewhere we don't want to go to operate in the gifts. Because the reality is, if we don't engage, if we don't humble ourselves and engage in the Spirit's work, and we're not open to having the Spirit move among us, he won't make us. He won't force it upon us. If we check out and disengage, he won't force us. And he's calling us to eagerly desire these gifts. And there is a dynamic where you can say, well, actually, I don't desire these gifts. And so what do you do then? You say to the Lord, help me desire these gifts. Many times I come before the Lord and I don't feel like engaging with the Lord. And you just sit back and say, Lord, help me. Help me engage. Help me know you love me. Help me love you. Help me follow this way of love. Help me eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. And the Spirit himself will empower you to eagerly desire the gifts. He gives grace to the humble. So when you come before him and say, Lord, I'm honest with you. I don't desire you right now. I don't desire these gifts. Give it time and give it space. And before you know it, you'll be eagerly desiring these gifts. But he won't force us. So us moving in these gifts begins with an eager desire and a heart to receive humbly before him and to respond to the leading of the Spirit and to have him take hold of what we choose to bring in partnership with him. And part of this desire is a desire to see others blessed. So we can look at others and say, they're struggling. Look at that brother or sister, or they're struggling. Holy Spirit, how can I encourage them? So the eager desire for gifts of the Spirit is not to become, oh my gosh, if I'm really working all these gifts of the Spirit, everyone's going to think I'm amazing. Everyone's going to love it when I walk into the room because I'm operating all these gifts. Part of the eager desire is to love your brother and sister and see your brother and sister in need and say, Holy Spirit, I really want these gifts to operate in my life so they can be blessed. Wouldn't it be great if I could go up to them, Lord, and give them a word of knowledge about their life to show that you're in there. You haven't abandoned them, or a prophecy, or a gift, or an act of service. And so that's part of the eager desire. And God's looking for humble hearts that eagerly desire these gifts, because we eagerly desire others to be blessed through them. And it's important to say that the gifts of the Spirit, they're not some strange, mystical, cloudy reality that turns us into weird people or changes our voice. The Spirit is in you. The Spirit saved you. And the Spirit will work through you the way He has made you. If you're eager to see Him move through you and bless others. And all the gifts of the Spirit are important. And I do think it's worth looking at. Many teachers say they're not an optional extra. This is part of our calling to follow the Lord, to seek the gifts of the Spirit and to move and grow in them. Because we need His help. And we need to be encouraged. And we want to be a church that has the Holy Spirit working through us. And I just wanted to share something that I think is quite significant for us as a church. And I don't know all the details about what my dad had a revelation of years ago. When my dad passed away, it was obviously terrible. But then at the same time, I had pastors phoning me up and telling me about my dad and telling me about the things that he'd encountered and engaged with. And one of the things that happened to my dad was that he suddenly got a revelation of the church. He suddenly got a love for God and a love for people. He suddenly saw how God wanted to operate. And I think I've had a similar thing when I've been studying this and looking at it, in that I suddenly saw a fresh purpose for us as a church. And I'll explain. So you may well be asking, as I've asked in the past, okay, I know a bit more about the gifts of the Spirit now. I know what they are. I know who uses them. We're qualified. I know when they're used, when we gather and evangelism, the whole of life. I know why we need them. We need strength. We need courage. I know how they're used. The Holy Spirit doesn't force us. But that sounds good. But am I really expected to prophesy, bring wisdom, words of knowledge, pray for the sick, see them healed, demonstrate miracles, speak in tongues, serve, give, teach, encourage, lead, and show mercy all in one Sunday morning? Or all in one single week? Well, the answer is yes, and we need to get on with it. No, I'm joking. Jesus says in John 3 that Jesus is given the Spirit without limit. And in the Gospels, you look at Jesus, He had the Spirit without limit, and that He appeared to be able to teach and heal and perform miracles and use the other gifts of the Spirit at any time He needed. Any time He needed to, at the Father's will, He demonstrated the Spirit without limit. And the challenge is, the problem is, we have limits. You know, we aren't the Son of God. We are sons and daughters of God, but we aren't Jesus. And we can't have all the gifts. We can't have all the gifts operating at any time we like without limit. Yet, and this is like the fresh perspective and the fresh purpose I saw for the body of Christ, which includes us. When we consider ourselves as the body of Christ, when we consider ourselves as a body, a collective, a corporate group, is it not possible for us, as one body, to express all the gifts of the Spirit between us together and represent all the gifts as a group? So as a group, we exercise each gift of the Holy Spirit between us. So there isn't one super Christian that has all the gifts of the Spirit and everybody comes to see them on a Sunday morning because look at them, they're moving in the gifts of the Spirit. I've heard some teachers say this isn't a Christian circus. It's Sometimes the gifts of the Spirit have been made to like, let's all gather around the person who has this particular gift. Let's all gather around the person who has this other gift. But what I think is happening here that the Lord wants to show us is that the Spirit at His will choose and cause some of us to prophesy. Others He will choose to bring wisdom. Others He will choose to bring words of knowledge. Others will pray for the sick and see them healed. Some of us will demonstrate miracles. Some of us will serve in a special way. Some of us will give in a special way. Some of us will encourage others in a special way. Some of us will lead. Some of us will show mercy. So between us, as part of the body of Christ, we can express and exercise the Spirit and represent every gift of the Spirit as a group, as we depend on God and each other. So we may not exercise them perfectly. In the context of prophecy, Paul says we prophesy in part. Now I used to be like, I don't like that. I want us to prophesy in full. But that's actually liberating. Because Paul says you're not going to get it perfect every time. Now we don't have to have the expectation that if we feel the Spirit stirring us up, and we'll talk about prophecy in the future, but if we feel the Spirit stirring us up a word of encouragement to strengthen and build an individual or a group up, we can't think, oh my gosh, I'm rewriting the Bible. Oh no, I can't say anything. That's not New Testament prophecy. The Bible is pure truth. The Bible has been written. It's begun and it's closed. But there's a New Testament prophetic reality where God shares His heart for people. And we don't have to get it right all the time, perfect. Because when you give a prophetic word, the person that's hearing has a responsibility as well to weigh it and to check it and to take it to the Lord and take it to other brothers and sisters. I've even heard some people say, if someone says, I've got a prophetic word for you, go and get someone else. And they hear it together. So you can then, as a three or however many's there, you can say, okay, we're going to pray about this. And then you can go off with your friend and say, what did you think about that? Sounded a bit strange to me. Let's shelve it. Or, oh my gosh, I really think that was from the Lord. But the point is, we're not going to get these things done perfectly. Because if we think we've got to exercise these gifts perfectly all the time without any mistakes whatsoever, we'll be reluctant to step out in them. But there's potential for all of us to represent each gift, that we might be a healthy and strong community filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I like the idea of the body of Christ, a church community where people are operating in particular gifts. I like that idea. And I think it's part of God's plan for the bride of Christ. That when people engage with Christians, the body of Christ, they'll taste almost the Spirit without limit. Now I'm reluctant to say the Spirit without limit, because of our limitations. I think that's okay. We're not Jesus. God's not expecting us to be what we're not. But I think there's something in there. I felt it was a fresh purpose for us as a church, that each and every one of us together as a body would represent each gift. So one of the questions we can ask is, Holy Spirit, what gifts are you wanting to work through me? What spiritual gifts do you want to give me? And that kind of thing can happen in a moment or over time. You start to learn. And one way to learn is to look back and see how you're already operating. What gifts have you given me, Holy Spirit? Can you help me? Have you ever brought a prophecy to anybody? Are you a particularly generous giver? If there's a serving job to do? Are you just drawn to that? And you are actually given life through serving. And we'll go through, as I said, each one, and we can explore and see what the Holy Spirit does. Because it's really interesting, when Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, he says we're a body with many parts. So he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit when he says we're a body of many parts. So not everyone's going to be a hand. Not everybody's going to be a leg. You know, does the hand say to the foot, come on? We're working together. Some will prophesy, some will serve, some will give. And that's the body of Christ. And because Christ was operating in that without limit, I think there's potential for us to exercise and demonstrate each gift. It made me think about us being brought together. Because I think there's an individual dynamic to the Christian faith. There is. Personal salvation is really important. When we stand before God on Judgment Day, we're not going to be able to blame anybody else. You know, our only hope will be Jesus. But there's a danger, especially in this culture, where it's me, 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 what I want, what I say, that we actually undercut and miss out on body fellowship, on community. And I think part of what God wants to do is bring a Spirit-filled community, as us being a Spirit-filled community, into Salford and beyond. And so when people see us, they will see every gift represented. So to emphasise the point and to repeat myself, probably, if we see ourselves as one body, the body of Christ, we can, as a group, as Mount Chapel, as indeed all the body of Christ can, we can represent all the gifts of the Spirit between us. Because I believe the Spirit wants to express Himself through us as a whole body, with each gift represented and exercised between all of us, according to His will. Because any gift we do have comes from Him. And so, as Paul says, we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we should. Because not all of us are going to be given all the gifts. And so we need the Holy Spirit's help to see, what lane have you put me in? What lane have you put? What gifts have you given me? And I'm going to be thankful for those gifts. I'm going to do my best to operate in those gifts. Recognize that I'm not going to express every single gift all the time without limit. And that's okay. So I just thought, to respond to what I feel the Lord has been saying, to do what we've been doing many times these last few weeks, and that's to get into small groups and pray together. And I thought the word ask just kept coming. That word ask just appeared in capital letters in my heart. And I thought it would be good to ask for more of the Spirit, and specifically for His gifts to move among us. Because Jesus says in Luke's Gospel, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And I thought, if we could get together in groups of three or four and pray for the Lord to move among us, and ask for the Spirit to move among us with His gifts. So many of us are already operating in His gifts, perhaps without knowing it, maybe knowing it, and that's great. Maybe you can ask for more opportunities to grow and step out in your gifting. And we'll be learning more about these gifts as time goes on. But for now, let's pray for more of the Holy Spirit. Let's ask. Even before who you're with. Just say, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would reveal to me what gifts you've given me. I ask what gifts you would like to give me. And Lord, I humbly receive them and I pray you'd help me. So let's do that for a few moments. And then I will bring us to a close when we're ready.